Now, reading today is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I'm going to read from verses 19 to 27. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone, to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I'm not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in the race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get the crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize.
How flexible would you be in evangelism? How flexible would you be in fitting into an alien culture? My wife is a descendant of a very famous missionary called Stanley Smith. Stanley Smith is one of the Cambridge Seven who went to China with Hudson Taylor. They were revolutionary evangelists because they dressed and lived like the Chinese. Previous missionaries had gone in like imperialists. They had taken European culture with them and imposed it on the people they were evangelizing. This was widely assumed to be right. Stanley Smith was a revolutionary. He took seriously what Paul says here about becoming all things to all people. I think my education in an ordinary Welsh comp helped me in this area. It wasn't a Christian environment. I don't suppose your school was either. I won't go into details, but I knew I was there to be an evangelist. I don't say I was very good at it, but I knew I was meant to be doing it. So from early days, I had to work out how far would I go in fitting in with the non-Christian culture. This is what I learnt. Don't be too religious. Be normal. Church services need to be contemporary. We need to use modern language, modern songs, contemporary illustrations. Holiness is essential. It's no good being contemporary if you're compromised. Paul, here in 1 Corinthians 9, talks about being completely flexible in evangelism and totally passionate about holiness. So those are my two headings: flexible in evangelism, passionate about holiness. Firstly then, flexible in evangelism. The context, of course, is that the Corinthian church is a nightmare church. 1 Corinthians is the kind of letter every pastor reads to make himself feel better about his own lot in life. They were divided. They were unable to speak prophetically into their culture. They'd become just like their culture. Jews demanded signs. Greeks demanded wisdom. They'd forgotten the simple wisdom of the cross. And they were rebellious against the leadership of the Apostle Paul. They were wildly immoral. There were lawsuits within the church. And so we could go on. And all the time, Paul is under major pressure. There are some who maintain that Paul is not a proper apostle because he didn't draw a salary from the church. And Paul has to say, yes, I'm entitled to a salary. This is my right, but I choose to give it up for the sake of the gospel. And we saw last week that we must also sit lightly to our rights. And now, here in verse 19, we must be flexible when it comes to evangelism. Verse 19, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. Paul is a free man. He's a Roman citizen. He's free in Christ. He's a child of God. He walks in the glorious liberty of the sons of God, he tells us. Paul is not bound by any set of rules other than obedience to Jesus. But he makes himself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. You've probably done evangelism in lots of different settings. I've obviously worked in South Wales. I understand working class Welsh culture. So in my last church, we would put on a fun day. At the church, we have bouncy castles and rides and games and burgers and music. It was noisy, brash, and family friendly. I've done evangelism in Oxford, Cambridge, London. Remember the first evangelistic event we put on in Oxford? It was a port and chocolate evening. I was amazed. I'd never heard of anyone serving alcohol at an evangelistic event. But nobody thought anything of it in Oxford. In a traditional Welsh chapel, you wouldn't be allowed to serve alcohol. But if you did, you'd be better off serving beer. Didn't know anyone who drank port in Wales. But in Oxford, port and chocolate was a very successful combination. Very nice too. And so we could go on. We have to understand our social setting and make ourselves slaves to it. Paul makes himself a slave to his culture. Not condoning sin, but wherever possible, fitting in, making the gospel as attractive as possible to the culture. Verse 20, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. Paul, of course, was a Jew. He's a rabbi. He'd been vehemently opposed to Christianity. He viewed Christianity as an attack on Judaism. And having become a Christian, he came to sit very lightly to the Jewish law. For example, he teaches that circumcision is no longer necessary. He is not bound by Jewish culture. But in order to win Jews, he will behave like a Jew. So famously, poor old Timothy has to get circumcised. Paul doesn't really believe in circumcision. He thinks it makes no difference whether you're circumcised or not. But to win Jewish people, Paul circumcises Timothy. So very obviously, if you want to win Jews for Jesus, you will have to keep the food laws. They're not going to come round your house for gammon and chips. You need to show great respect for Jewish culture. And it's the same whatever culture you're dealing with. It's no good going back to Wales and expecting them to think like Oxford. They're worlds apart. And it's the same in your evangelism. Where has God put you to live? Where has God put you to work? How can you really fit in without, of course, falling into sin? Verse 20, to those under law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. At a Christian meeting recently, there was a lengthy discussion about whether we are under law. In particular, whether we are under the Old Testament law regarding the Sabbath. This is a difficult question. Everyone would agree we must keep the moral content of the Old Testament law. But clearly, we are free to eat pork. We don't prevent men from having long hair. We don't discipline church members who have a tattoo. We don't prevent people wearing garments made of two kinds of cloth. How do we steer ourselves through the maze of the Old Testament law? The answer is that Paul is right. We are not under the law. We're not saved by keeping the Old Testament law. We can't. We're sinners. So which bits do we have to keep then? We keep what Jesus tells us to keep. We are free where Jesus tells us we are free. We are obedient to Jesus, not Old Testament law. Jesus and his spokesman, the apostles, make it clear which bits of the law we keep and which bits we can ignore. So we are not under law. But if we transplanted Christchurch to the Hebrides, where culturally they are very Sabbatarian, they keep Sunday as the Sabbath, we wouldn't put on an evangelistic football match on a Sunday afternoon. They are under law. If we wanted to be respected by them, if we wanted to win a hearing for the gospel, we would have to join in living under the law. Here in Christchurch, we used to have sport on a Sunday afternoon. Nobody ever complained. That's because we're not under the law. Verse 21, to those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. This is a crucial verse for understanding our relationship to Old Testament law. We are under Christ's law. And under Christ's law, holiness is essential. We are called to be a holy people. But holiness is internal. It's not about keeping a set of rules. It's about loving God and living to please him. And the teaching of Jesus and his apostles, shows us how to do this. To reach someone who is not under the law, I would suggest you need to go to the pub with them. You need to live in their world. Do the things they like doing. As long as, of course, Jesus is happy for you to do it. Verse 22, to the weak, I became weak to win the weak. The weak, you will remember, from chapter 8, are those with a weak conscience. So I think most of our consciences here are quite strong. We don't go around worrying much if we're doing the wrong thing. But there are other Christians who never do certain things. Keith Johnson, very good friend of mine. If you come to my study, You'll see many books that Keith has bought me. Very good friend. Keith will not buy an ice cream on a hot Sunday afternoon because he will not spend money on the Lord's Day. Now, we must be sympathetic. If we were hot and saw an ice cream, we would buy it, most of us, I think. But Keith wouldn't, and we must respect that. Another dear friend, Meyer Penry. Meyer has never been to the cinema and has no intention of going. Many respects, that's a wonderful thing. It's called purity. Modern evangelicalism has forgotten about purity. It does matter. So, if someone's conscience is weak, we must respect that. Because we're dealing with very tender, delicate issues. We must bear with one another in love. And then here's the summary principle, verse 22. I have become all things to all men, so that by all means I might save some. How far will you go to win people for Christ? Remember Stanley Smith? He adopted a completely new culture. Completely new culture. Can you imagine that? He thinks like a Chinese person. He dresses like a Chinese person. That's what he does. Are we willing to be flexible? God's not asking most of us to do that, is he? He's just saying, are you willing to fit in with your non-Christian friends? Verse 23. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Isn't that good? I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Don't you want to enjoy the blessings of the gospel? Don't you want to see your friends becoming Christians? Them having new life, forgiveness? A fresh start? Isn't that the best thing in the world? Don't you want to be involved in evangelism? Talk about Jesus. Help them to understand what he's done for them. How people can be free from their old life. Set free to live a life which pleases Jesus. Yes, do all this for the sake of the gospel. Be flexible, that you may share in the blessings of the gospel. And secondly, passionate about holiness, verses 24 to 27. We are not saying you can sin and get away with it. Becoming all things to all men doesn't mean you can get drunk, or be materialistic, or be immoral, or watch filth on the telly or in the cinema. Paul is flexible in evangelism, but passionate about holiness. Verse 24. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Now, physically, I don't run in such a way as to get the prize. Physically, I'm running for the wooden spoon. But spiritually, we need to run to win. We need to run the race of holiness. Verse 25. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. As I was preparing this sermon, I could hear the shouts of the personal trainer who works in the field behind our house, putting me to shame as I sat on my backside yet again. But Paul is saying the athlete who wants to win goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Do you listen to The Reunion? It's a program on Radio 4, hosted by Sue McGregor. There was one of these programs about a reunion of athletes from the 1948 London Olympics. It's a lovely program. All the athletes were in their 80s now. But you know what? Nobody'd ever heard of them. And in 60 years' time, very few will know who Jessica Ennis is. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. There is a reward for living a life which pleases Jesus. It is a crown which will last forever. Verse 26. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Now, this verse has been badly misunderstood. Some people have literally beaten their bodies. It's called flagellation. People hit themselves with a whip. Others wear a hair shirt. Others walk up steps on their knees. This is not what Paul means. We mustn't take him too literally. But as I said earlier, this generation of evangelicals has gone too far the other way. I found online a study that showed 50% of Christian men use pornography. Paul subdues his body. He's not ruled by his bodily urges, so that he will not be disqualified from the prize. So where are you in all this? Are you flexible in evangelism, willing to do whatever it takes to win the lost? Are you passionate? Am I passionate about holiness? Committed to living a life which pleases Jesus? In a moment, we will share the Lord's Supper. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus used the emblems of bread and wine to represent his body and his blood. Jesus subdued his body. He sacrificed himself on the cross so that we might be forgiven. And having been forgiven, we're set free. We really are. We're set free. Free to live a life which pleases Jesus. So as we come to the Lord's table, let's consider our Saviour. Let's think about Jesus, who he is, and what he's done for us. Let's consider ourselves. Do we need to say sorry to him? Do we need to get right with him? Do we need to understand afresh what Jesus has done for us? Do we need to be assured we are forgiven? We are loved. We are accepted. We are forgiven. Let's take a few moments of silence to talk to the Lord for ourselves. Lord, we confess that we're not flexible in evangelism very often. We don't want to do evangelism. We don't want to change. We would much prefer the world to fit in with us. So we pray that you'd give us a real heart of love for those who are lost without Jesus. We confess, Lord, that we're not passionate about holiness. Lord, we compromise, all of us, every day. And so we ask for your forgiveness. And we thank you again that Jesus has died for us and paid the whole price for our sin. And so now we receive the forgiveness which he offers us. In his name, amen.